Again, Hosea means what?
Deliver.
Salvation or deliver. And the name is, the word is used most of the time as it's used, salvation, incorrectly. Because God has already provided our salvation. Is that true? And the reason I say He already provided our salvation was because He was the Lamb that was slain when?
Before the foundation.
So it's not something that's going to take place now. He provided a sacrifice to correct the mistake before the mistake had ever came. Do you understand what I'm saying? Before Adam was even formed, God had already provided the sacrifice. So I don't need to be saved. I have never needed to be saved because I was created before Adam. Weren't you? See, I was created in the first three verses of Genesis. Before the dust man was created in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. So see, I didn't need salvation. I needed deliverance from the thinking in my mind that told me that I was just a human being and that I was no good and that gave me that low self-esteem and my loss of identity. Okay? So I only needed deliverance from my thinking process that had been polluted by my soul. Okay? Do you understand that? Any questions in that? Okay. Let me read this chapter and we'll start to break it down. The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, Go, take unto you a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land has committed great whoredoms departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son, and said unto him, Call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. And it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And she conceived again and bare a daughter, and said unto him, Call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, nor by horses, nor by horsemen. Now when she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. Then said God, Call his name Lo-Ami, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in that place where it was said unto them, You are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, You are the sons of the living God. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. My God, may He open our mind. Whew, this thing is beautiful. Again, the word of the Lord that came unto who? Hosea. What's his name really mean? Deliverer. Who is our deliverer? It's Jesus. It's the Christ. Right? Jesus is our deliverer. So this isn't about some man called Hosea. We're looking at the Spirit, what the Spirit is trying to tell us in this. So we're looking at our deliverer, aren't we? Okay, watch what happens here. See if your mind can't take off and catch up with where the Spirit's taking us. Come on. He was the son of who? Beeri. What's his name mean? An expounder or a fountain or a well. Okay? He's the son of the well. What does a well speak of? It's water. It's the water of life. Remember Jesus was sitting on a well one time? Remember that? And a woman came to him. And he said, If you drink of my water, you'll never thirst again. And see, he said he's the son of the well. Well, who's the well? Father. God our Father. See? in the days of Uzziah. The word Uzziah means strength of the Lord. Now, what day is the strength of the Lord?
Today.
Yesterday. Forever. Always. Okay? Jotham. You know what the word Jotham means? God is perfect. I could say this word. Duh. Right? God is perfect. Absolutely. Ahaz. He has grasped. See? He has grasped. Reach out and grasp. You know what he grasped? All of us. He got us. How many did he miss? See, I can see reconciliation everywhere I go in this Bible. Because reconciliation is the truth of God. So he reached out and grasped humanity. See, we didn't go after him, did we? He come and got us. And Hezekiah. What's it mean? God is my strength. See, God is strength or God is my strength. Kings of Judah. We've heard a lot of things about Judah. What does it mean? A lot of people say praise, but literally the word really takes us to something else. It doesn't do away with praise. It actually speaks of something a little deeper. It speaks of a celebration. Okay? The word Judah means celebrated or a celebration. What should we do about God? Should we not celebrate God in our lives every day? Should I not celebrate because of something bad happening in my life? What does that do to have to change the fact that God is God and He's working in my life? If I have a bad day, does it change the fact that He's God and that He loves me? He's just working on me. Isn't that correct? See, so we need to celebrate Judah at all times. It shouldn't just be when the good times are rolling. See, if we only praise Him in the good time, we're going to fall right back in that category of religion. We don't need God when things are good. See, it's easy for everybody to praise Him when He's good. But how about praising Him when it's bad times? Think that'll change your attitude any? I guarantee you it'll change your attitude. It'll take you a little higher to be able to praise Him right in the midst of all the hell that breaks loose in our life. Just to worship Him and love Him. But see, when you know that God's behind it all, then you can. As long as you've got this view like the church world teaches, that it's some devil out there that's doing everything bad to you, you're never going to grow and worship Him in the times of the correction, would you? If you think somebody's hurting you, are you going to thank God for it? If you think it's some devil coming against you? See, we have to know that God loves us and everything that goes on is from God. Right? Not just the good, but all of it. And in the days of Jeroboam, right? The word Jeroboam, it means the people will. The people will. So what does that mean, the people will? The people will contend. The people will rebel. Literally, it's speaking of a time when their 10 tribes were split off. Okay? See, the people will contend. In spite of all the things we've said so far about God's love and His strength and all of His provision for us and all these things we've talked about, they're still going to rebel. Yeah, and we want to say, how could that be? How could anyone rebel in the face of God with all these good things? How could those people walk away from God when they walked through the desert for 40 years and their shoes grew with them? Their clothes never wore out in 40 years. Man, we have to buy a new set of clothes every day just about now. Their clothes stayed with them. And see, we hear about the people who walked through the desert and their clothes never changed. We think about the adults. What about them kind? Right there, them little ones. They never had to buy more clothes. They never had to make clothes. They never had to change clothes. Their clothes grew with them. Their shoes grew as their feet grew. Miracles, huh? And we say, how could those people turn their face on God and rebel? Don't we all think those things? I've thought it, and you know what? And I look, if I look honestly in the mirror at myself, I can say, guilty. I did the same thing. I see the miracle of God right in this room. I saw miracles of God all through my life and would not recognize God as doing it. Didn't we all do that? We've all done that. Okay, so we can't look back and say, boy, that was a bunch of stiff-necked people. They were hard-headed and stupid and ignorant. Well, we all done it. See, we can't put anybody out there as the only one that did it. We're as guilty. God is showing us in shadows and types, this is the way we are today. Paul said everything was written to teach us, didn't he? For our learning, our admonition, our teaching, instruction. So it was done to show us how stiff-necked and hard-headed we are. And when we realize how we are and say, that is me, I do them things. See, I can recognize it, not to say, well, yep, I'm just like them. What's it supposed to bring about in our life? The change. See, we hear, right? What did God tell you, Larry? Listen and see. But when you listen, you have to go beyond just listening. You have to hear what? Intelligently, with the intent to respond to what I heard. So when God speaks in my heart, the love in my heart, what has to come out? See, love has to come out. I don't have, if I hear is intelligently, I have no choice. Because the Word of God is going to accomplish what it was sent forth to do. Correct? And if love is sent into your heart, what are you going to do? And if you love your neighbor as yourself, you know all the rest of the stuff will fall in line. If you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body, and love your neighbor as yourself, you can say that's two commandments, but that's one. Because when I say I love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and body, how could I not love you, brother? Aren't you part of God? Aren't each one of you part of God? So there's only one commandment. It's called love, right? So if we understand this and let that love get in our heart, all these other issues that's in our life will only fade away. They'll just fade away. See, if I focus upon Him, as Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything will be added to you. Well, don't I need all these other things in my life? Well, I do, but God's going to provide what I need when I seek the kingdom first. Right? The kingdom's within you. It's already there. He's just going to open the treasure house so you can get to it. Okay? He's just going to open the treasure house for you. See, we did Jeroboam, didn't we? The son of Joash. Joash means given by the Lord. Everything was given and provided by who? God. King of Israel. What does that name mean? Israel. One translation will say peace, but if you look in the Hebrew language, it literally says this. God prevails. Will God prevail? Who shall disannul His word? No one. Will God's purposes stand? Will God's word stand throughout the ages and years and eons? Sure. God prevails. See? So when that peace comes, guess what? It's only because God has prevailed. See? God's not trying to destroy anybody, is He? What's He trying to do? He's trying to perfect us and bring us into that peace that He has. See? That's all it's about. God's not trying to destroy. He's trying to bring us to peace. That's one verse. And we can walk over these little verses and think there's nothing in them. But when we listen to the Spirit of God, see, it's not just in the language. There's some things in the language, keys to help us open it up. But we got to hear in our spirit. See, what is God saying in your spirit today? I love you. I love you with an everlasting love. See, it's not this conditional love that we know in this world, but it's an everlasting love. No conditions, it's love. It's an everlasting love. And that's just a setup. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. Now, Hosea is going to tell you what God told him. Now, again, who is Hosea? He's who? Christ. He's the deliverer, but that's Christ. See, that's Jesus. But now, is that Jesus just one man? This is talking about the corporate son. It's not about just Jesus, because Jesus, the one man, came for one purpose. To show us how to walk out what God wanted. Now we have to do what? Walk it out. See, we're the Christ too. We're Hosea. We're Hosea. Okay. We have to know this is written to you. Now the reason he's telling you what he said to Hosea, and he's speaking in parable, because we know Jesus said everything he said was in parable. God always spoke in parables, not in literal language. So, he's telling us this, not so we can say, we know what Jesus was going to do. Hey, come on. We know what Jesus did because we can read it in the book. If that's all it was about, we can throw this thing away as a history book. It won't change my life, will it? But when I know my responsibility in the Word, okay? When I know my responsibility, this is for me. See, I can't just read it and throw it down because then I'm only hearing it. But when I hear it intelligently, oh, what was that word the Lord gave you, brother? Listen and what? Uh-oh. If I hear it intelligently, if I listen, hear it intelligently, then what's going to happen to my life? I'm going to change, see? And I'm not even going to make the change. God's going to do the changing. I just have to no longer fight and wrestle like Jacob did in his mind in his ignorance. See, I just have to accept what God's doing, and guess what? Whew, hang on. It's going to be a ride. But man, it's going to be a blessed ride. So he says, this is the word of the Lord to the Christ. And the Lord said to the Christ, go and take unto you a wife of whoredoms. Boy, the church realm don't want to know what to do with this one at all. Go take an unfaithful prostitute for your wife. Well, hello. We're not talking about that kind of woman. We're talking about your soul. You're talking about, you can talk it to the church realm, you can talk it to the soul. Which one you want to see? I want to see because it's internal in my life. I got to know that my woman, my Christ, has to go out and marry this unfaithful woman. And by Him marrying me, I become righteous by the Christ marrying my soul. Hello, do you understand what I'm saying? The Christ took the church and made her righteous. Right? When He takes my woman, when the Christ in me marries my woman, guess what? He makes her righteous. Just the way that Jesus did on the cross. See, He died for her. He took her sin. And when I take, when the Christ in me overtakes my soul and marries her, guess what? He just made me righteous. He just made me holy. That's why the book says that if a woman doesn't want to stay married to a man she's married to, or a man or a woman, said your children would be unclean if it wasn't true that the one can make the other righteous. It's in Romans 7, I believe. Not Romans 7. It's in maybe Peter. Anyway, Paul, excuse me. Get too many things going in my head right now. I know the Scripture says that the one makes the other righteous if she doesn't want to. Else your children would be unclean, it says. So the one who's living godly can cleanse the other one. Okay? But we're not talking about a man and woman naturally. We're talking about the man Christ inside of us making my soul, my woman, righteous because of Him marrying Himself, attaching Himself to her. Okay? So He said, go and take you a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms. Literally, it speaks of idolatry. Okay? We're not talking about someone going out and being a prostitute and sleeping with all these different men. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking spiritual things. And he says, take children of this also. Okay? What do you think my soul does when it attaches itself to the flesh rather than my Christ? It conceives things in its in my thinking process and gives birth to things that are not of God. Does that make sense? And that's the children he's talking about. My ungodly thoughts. Okay? when my soul is running free to do what she wants and she's not in submission to her man, the Christ, but she's running with the flesh, she will give birth to all kinds of things, as we'll see through this passage. Okay? But we are not concerned with the natural, are we?
No.
God will deal with that stuff. It's all spiritual. Who's got a living Bible? Cindy, you got one? Okay. Read that verse, 2. That says it a pretty good way. Notice what he said. Go and take this woman of whoredoms so there will be children born to you of other men. You realize what he just said? Think about it. He says, let us use Larry. Okay, I'm going to use Larry for an example here. Larry, go marry a woman. And this is not meaning anything bad. Just go marry this woman over here, Faye, and she's going to play the part of a prostitute or a harlot, and go marry her so you can have children born to you by other men. Now, what does it tell us about her character? See? How many men would marry a woman that someone said, go marry that woman, and she's going to sleep with everybody in the community so you can have kids and raise them up from everybody else? Boy, that'd be a hard one to swallow, wouldn't it? Did he do it? See, Jesus done the same thing. Because our soul has birthed all kinds of children. Our woman has birthed all kinds of children by running in the flesh. And Jesus, the Christ that has came within us, has attached himself to this woman for one purpose. Not to point a finger at her and condemn her and say she's bad, but to purify and to set her into righteous state. Man, that's good news. See, I don't got to worry about it because it's not me that's going to clean up my woman. Who is it? The Christ that's within you is going to clean up your woman. Do you understand?
Your
housekeeper's there. Don't worry. And he says in the last part of the second verse that all these children and everything and the woman have done what? They've committed great adultery or great unfaithfulness by departing from the Lord. Now, does it say that they intentionally departed? Didn't say that, did it? My book tells me in Romans that the whole creation was subjected to vanity, not willingly. Right? Did you ask for this, Cindy? I didn't ask for it. Didn't ask for any of it. God had a plan. And he chose to set it in order, and he did. So these people, these children, were created not by anybody's design except God. And all these children of adultery that we raise up in our minds when we run in the flesh, guess what? God knows about it. And see, we have to be able to do that because that gives us the separation. See, he said I'm trying to think of the words in Scripture, what it says. He says that he has concluded all in unbelief in Romans. He has concluded all in unbelief. How many does that make? Who's that leave out? He said, I put them in all in unbelief. That's exactly what he's saying here. Paul's saying the same thing in Romans. He said, I put them all in unbelief so that I can have mercy upon who? All. That's good news, isn't it? He put me all in unbelief. So if there's any unbelief and you don't feel bad about it, know that God is going to work it out of your life. He's going to conclude them all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all. Isn't that good news? Okay. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Dibalam, which conceived and bare him a son. What does Gomer mean? Completion, or literally a completely unfaithful wife. That's what she was, right? So Jesus came down, and aren't we supposed to be the bride of Christ? Hello? So Jesus come down, attaches himself to us, he marries us. And see, this marriage supper of the Lamb is not something that has been set up for the future. When is it?
Now.
See, because I can't be made righteous until I've been attached to my man. So how can I look at something futuristic? It's got to be now. I've got to be made righteous now. See, so this marriage that's taken place has already taken place as soon as you realize it in your mind. It's taken place.
It makes you complete.
Sure, it makes you complete when I'm hooked together. See, when he married her, then she became what? Two become what? Okay, when Christ married my soul, I became complete. Didn't you? See, my life was incomplete, and I was in whoredoms. I was unfaithful in my whole life until he came in my life and attached himself to me. I wasn't looking for him. He attached himself to me. And his righteousness made me righteous. The same as he said that the woman would, you know, the man would be clean also because of the woman, you know. Both of them will be clean by the mate. God came in to my life and your life and attached to your soul. And because of that, now you can stand and say, I'm holy. I'm righteous. I'm not guilty. I'm not blamable. You can't accuse me because he, my man, my husband, says I'm okay. See? Nobody can accuse you. Not even yourself. And that's the one that'll accuse you the most. You don't have to listen to it. My man has married me. Keith, you gonna anybody accuse your woman? You think God will let anybody accuse his woman? We're his bride, aren't we? Who's going to accuse us? Hear what I'm saying? God has so loved us and made this so plain. So plain. But anyway, he went and took Gomer, just complete, and made her complete. She's the unfaithful wife. She is the daughter of Diblaim, if you can say it. Doesn't make any difference. But you know what it means? Two cakes. Two fig cakes. Now what in the world's two fig cakes got to do with anything? Well, we can drop the fig cakes and figure out what this is. What's this? Two. It's duality. See, so she come from a father of duality. She come from the natural man, didn't she? Which is duality. And we all know what James had to say about a double-minded man. What is he? Unstable in all of his ways. So as long as I let my woman come from that double-minded man, I'm going to be unstable and I'm going to be unfaithful. But when my man, Christ, comes into my life and attaches himself to me and marries me, guess what? I'm no longer sinful. I'm righteous and holy and unblameable and unaccusable, not guilty before God. So I stand before him as righteousness because of his righteousness that he gave me. It's not my righteousness, is it? It's his righteousness. Beautiful, beautiful book. Which conceived and bare him a son. And the Lord said to him, call his name what? Jezreel. You know what? You know what it means? God's son. God's sowing. If it's God's sowing, God's seed, what is he? God's son. Right? Any seed from God only produces what?
Like kind.
It's God. Is the seed of God in you? Well, guess what you are? You're the planting of the Lord, aren't you? Then you can't produce anything but God in your life. I don't care what you hear now. I don't care what anybody tells you. You have a destiny in this world, and that destiny is to produce God in this world. There's no other destiny for you. It's to produce the Christ that's been planted within you. God's sowing in the earth. We have no other options. This is what God's destiny and purpose is. And I know there's many of you sitting in here right now wondering, why am I on this earth? Is that true? What is my purpose? And I just told it to you. Your purpose is to produce the Christ in the earth today. Now, what's your marching orders? Who knows? I don't care about my marching orders. All I need to know is that I am the Son of God and I am raised up to be the Christ upon the earth. My orders will come from my captain. Is that right? You take anybody that's been in the military, they say, go over there and get ready. You'll go over and get ready. And if they don't tell you to do anything else, you'll sit there. And you'll sit there. And you'll sit there. And you'll sit there. And when the time comes, he'll walk out and say, let's march. And you'll get up and march. And that's all you've got to do. You only got to let him be who he wants to be in your life. Don't worry about your orders. Worry about having yourself prepared to march. Does that make sense to you? I know that I'm a seed of God. I've been sown in the earth. And that seed has to produce the same seed it came from. It has to produce the same fruit. Same in you as in me. Now, what's my purpose? To produce Christ and portray God to the rest of humanity. That's all our job is. Every one of us have to do that. Every one of us have to. You'll get your marching orders when it's time. I can't tell you them because I don't know them. Because each one of us have a course to walk. You see an army go out to battle, you don't see everybody go the same direction. There's a lot of strategy involved in a battle, isn't there? And the general will say, look, I want you guys to go this way and make them think it's coming this way, and I'll send some this way, and I'll send some by land, and some by air, and some by sea. You'll go all kinds of ways, won't you? But we're all going to end up the same place in the victory circle. Right? Come on. I'm going to get excited in a minute. And the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel, or the seed, he's the seed of God, because yet for a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and I will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. Now note this. He said that he was going to avenge the blood, right? What do you think that was? Crucifixion. Come on. And he said he's going to avenge Jezreel's blood upon the house. Jezreel hadn't even been born yet. Had he? He hadn't even been born yet, and God said, I'm going to avenge his blood on the house of Jehu. Don't you think that was the lamb being slain before the foundation of the world? Come on, he's telling us the whole picture here. The whole picture. Jehu. Who is Jehu? God is he. See, God's even in that. God provided the people to crucify him, didn't he? Didn't God put it in Judas's heart to betray him? He put it in the heart of the Romans to nail him to a tree? They only fulfilled the Scriptures. It needs to be. God spoke something in my heart quite a few months ago about the crucifixion. About the betrayal. And when he said these words, I will never forget them as long as I live. Every Christ must have a Judas. Do you realize what that means? Someone close to you, someone who has a hold of your heart, must betray you. Notice one thing about Jesus. He never, ever was bitter or angry or resentful toward the man who was going to betray him. And he knew it all along. And see, the thing about us is we never know, do we? It's a surprise to us. We love somebody. We give them our heart and they betray us. But see, this betrayal is nothing more than an opportunity. For someone to betray you, it's an opportunity to show God how much you love his humanity. Am I going to get angry? Am I going to be mad? Or am I going to take the opportunity and seize it? And say, I love you in spite of what you're doing. And when you do that, do you know what you do to the one that betrayed you? You'll heap the coals of fire upon their head. You don't have to judge them. All you have to do is love them. And guess what? That doesn't mean you have to provide everything for them in life, give them everything you got. I'm saying love them in your heart. I can love people, but that don't mean I have to be around them, does it? There's people that I love, I dearly love, and it's a real struggle to be around. Can the rest of you agree with that? I love them, but they're difficult to be around. God didn't say you had to stay there and be a doormat and let everybody kick you in the teeth, did he? We have to know there's a balance in this thing. Paul said, strive to live peaceably with all men as much as lies within you. Okay? As much as you can do, take it and then get away. You don't have to stand there and let somebody abuse you. That's not what he's talking about. We're talking about gospel. Okay. But he said he would cause the blood to be avenged on the house of Jehu and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. See, religion's coming down. Now, we've seen Israel fall as a nation. Do you think that's what God's talking about? A physical nation? No, he's talking about the imaginations in our mind that are religious. And see, he said, I will cause them to fall. That ought to make you take laps. You ought to be plumb tickled pink to know that he's going to destroy all the religious idols in your head. He's going to cause it to fall. It's not going to be about, well, what can I do to make me quit doing this stuff? God is going to intervene in our lives. He said, I will cause it to fall. And it shall come to pass in that day, or in that day, and what day are we talking about? The day of the Lord, which is today, right? That I will break the bow of Israel. What's the bow? Well, here it represents the strength. Okay? It does mean covenant at times, but it means strength. My first thought always goes to covenant, but yet here he's not talking about breaking the covenant, because God is not a covenant breaker. Okay? God keeps his covenants even when we break a covenant. See, he's the faithful one. It come to pass that in that day, in the day of the Lord, that he will break the strength of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. Jezreel is who? The deliverer, the Christ. So where is the valley of the Christ? It's in the valley outside Jerusalem, you know, where he was crucified, you know, on that little hill there in the valley. Okay? He wasn't up on top of the highest mountain. He wasn't crucified in Zion. He was crucified on Moriah. Excuse me. Now, look here. And she conceived again and bare a daughter. And God said to him, call her name Lurahama. What's that mean? No mercy. No mercy. You know what? You know what the religious system, the soulish realm in my body produces? No mercy for anyone. Hello? You can go to the church realm and see the same thing. What God has let man produce in themselves in the religious realm has produced a church that has no mercy, no compassion for anyone. They only have religious forms, doctrines, and creeds that says we should be compassionate and have mercy. But for God's name, I don't know where it's at. I don't have any idea where their mercy's at because I don't see it. But we're literally talking about myself. Again, my unfaithful soul will produce with the flesh nothing else other than uncompassionate, unmerciful things in my life. Do we understand that? Until my man attaches to me and purifies me, I'm going to be unfaithful. And I'm going to create all these other things in my life that are not merciful. Now, I want you to notice something here. She conceived again and bare a daughter. Who's the father? It surely wasn't Jezreel. It surely wasn't Hosea, rather. Was it? It wasn't Hosea. He said, because she's going to bear him children by other men. And see, this is the first one. It was born out of her flesh, her desires. She wasn't faithful to Christ. When my soul's not faithful to Christ, but it's faithful to my flesh, it's going to create these other things like no mercy. Okay? This child was not born with Hosea the father. It was another man. And he said, because I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. Well, thank God he's going to take Israel away. Israel just represents a religious system in my mind. Thank God he's going to take it all away. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah. Judah, the overcomers, right? Judah, the ones who will celebrate, right? That will celebrate me in the midst of all the things that's going on. And I will what? He said, I'll have mercy upon the house of Judah, the celebrators, and I will save, or literally deliver them by the Lord their God. Now this is God speaking and saying, I'm going to deliver them by the Lord their God. Who's he talking about? The Christ. I'm going to deliver you by Christ. Do you understand? God's not going to come down in some big form on the earth and deliver us. He's already had the planting of the Lord placed within our hearts. That is the Christ within us. Can you agree with that? And that planting that he's placed within our hearts is what's going to deliver you. What does he say the rest of that verse? I'm not going to deliver you with horses, with bows, with swords. He's trying to tell us, I'm not going to deliver you with the natural strength that you see in humanity. I'm going to deliver you by the Spirit of God. And Zechariah 4:6 says, it's not by power. It's not by might. But it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. And everything he does is going to be done by Spirit. It's not going to be done by natural strength that we see. It's going to be supernatural. We are a supernatural people. We should not be worrying about the natural things. But the supernatural is a thing that should be normal in our life. It should be an everyday occurrence. And it is if we'll just look at it. We look at things and take them as coincidences in our life, and they're not coincidences. God has set it up to change our lives. And we try to rule it out with this intellect up here instead of giving God the praise and celebrating Him and all these things He's given to us. Verse 8. Now when she had weaned Lo Ruhamah, which is what? No mercy. She had weaned her, she conceived and bare a son. And God said, call his name Lo Ammi. Ammi. Yeah, Lo Ammi. What does it mean? Well, look at it this way. She's unfaithful. She's sleeping with other men. And if a man finds out his woman's sleeping with another man, what will he say about the child? It's not mine. And that's exactly what he's saying. God's saying, this one was yours, baby. You birthed it. You brought it out from another man. My soul went and laid with my flesh. You understand what I'm saying? And she produced something that wasn't godly. Okay? My soul and my spirit man didn't conceive this one. My soul went off and played the harlot. And every one of us has been guilty of that, believe me. It means not mine or not my people. He's not of my people. Because you are not my people and I will not be your God. See, church teaches you go ahead and do whatever you want to, and God will attach His name to it and make it good. And God said, that ain't mine, and I ain't going to be their God. See, when I create those things in my mind, in my soul, creating those things out of my flesh, God isn't going to attach to those things. But the church likes to think that. Makes them feel good. Okay? Verse 10. Yet the number of the children of Israel, literally Jacob, okay? What did I say Jacob for? Israel. Huh? I don't know why I said that. My mind just slipped there a minute. Yet the number of the children of Israel, what was Israel's original name? Okay, that's why I said it. There was a reason. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea. What covenant is that? That's the first two covenants. Okay? He said, though the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, guess what? Which cannot be measured nor numbered, and it shall come to pass that in the place where they are said unto them, you are not my people, there it shall be said to them, ye are the sons of the living God. Now let me back up and show you something here. The number of the children of Israel, notice this, Jacob was Israel's real name originally, right? But his nature had changed. Israel, right? He had a nature change, name change, and he became Israel. So now, Abraham's children is not talking about the physical, natural children that were born out of his bloodline. Because he had a name change. He came from Jacob, the natural man, to Israel, the spiritual man. Right? So now, guess what seed we're talking about? Is it the natural man or the spiritual man? So God's trying to tell us, the seed of Abraham has never been the natural. It's always been what? Spiritual. So the Jewish people, as much as they want to think that they are a special people above anybody else, it's always about the spiritual people. Always been. You can go into Deuteronomy 10:16, and it says, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. He didn't say circumcise your flesh. He said your heart. He was talking from the very beginning. God has always looked for a spiritual people. If God is looking for spirit today, doesn't the book say the same yesterday, today, and forever? He was always looking for the spirit. But our minds have been told by religion that this one little class of people called Jewish people was all God was concerned with. How narrow-minded is religion? It's like looking through a little peephole when we got this great big panoramic view that God has put in our heart. We've got to stop looking at this little tiny stuff. Okay, so we come to there as the sand of the sea, both the first two covenants, which cannot be measured nor numbered, and it shall come to pass. He's prophesying to them. It shall. He didn't say maybe, did he? It shall come to pass. That means it's going to happen. Right? It's going to happen. In the place where they... told, I am not a child of God. Right? We hear that accuser every day. You're not a son of God. I got news for him. It is written, I am a son of God, and you are too. Because the book says, it shall come to pass. It's a prophetic word saying, it will happen whether you deem it necessary or not. It's God's purpose and God's timing in everything in this earth. Nothing can change that. It's His purpose. But you are the sons of the living God. Then shall the children of Judah, the celebrated ones, that's the first fruit, and the children of Israel, notice this, the celebrated ones, the first fruit, okay, and the children of Israel be gathered together. Reconciliation of all mankind. Look at this. And appoint themselves one head. God will be all in all. Hello? God will be all and in all, won't He? And they shall come out of the land. They'll come out of the flesh. Well, that'll be good news for everybody. There's going to be a day when there's no more fleshly thinking. He said, you're going to come out of it. And they shall come out of that land of flesh, because great shall be the day of God's sowing. It's the first fruit. Oh, my God. Oh, when we hear what God says by His Spirit in these words. Don't read this letter of the Word and think that's all there is to it. It's some old history book. This is a living Word that comes alive by the Spirit in our hearts every day. It should so change us to know that God has a purpose in your life. Someone tell me what your purpose is today. Huh? To produce God in this earth. See? To produce the Christ in this earth. The seed of Christ is in her heart. Our purpose is to produce that Christ in her life. And when you produce that Christ, you ain't got to worry about fruit, do you? Because when Christ is in your life and He's produced and comes to maturity, the fruit will be bared. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, mercy. I mean, I can't say them all, but that's what the fruit is. See? And you haven't got anything to do about it. All you have to do is feed the baby, isn't it? When the seed comes through, all you got to do is feed the baby and love the baby. And guess what it'll do? It'll grow up and be just like Papa, won't it? And then we got maturity, and then the fruit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Huh? Come on. We don't got to do that stuff. We can't make ourselves love anybody. It's not in our makeup. Our unfaithful woman won't love anybody, except conditionally. But see, our Christ will purify us. And then we will love just like Him with an everlasting love. Oh.